Good morning, Rosai. I think we left off in Perek Dalad, Mishnah Dalad, the Mishnah of Abedavitos Yishavna Omer Ma'od Ma'od HaVishval Ruach. We had seen that the beginning of the Rambam here. Ukvara Isik, continuing in the Rambam here, Rosai. Ukvara Isi B'Sefer Misefer Hamidos. Shoshalu was Echad HaChasidim V'Amrula. Ezehu yom hasomer biyoser she'over alacha mimecha yacha. Omar, yom she'isi nosei al gabei sfina, v'hoyu mekom yibo b'mokom shofel biyoser. V'hoyu alai begodim beluyim, v'hoyu besfina sochrim v'bali nochosim. Uviyosi nimtza bimkomi, vihine echad me'anshe ha-sfina omad lahashtin. V'niglu la'inav shiflusi umatzovi ha-pochus, shahayisi shori bo, ad shegila es atzmo v'hishtan alai. So this rich merchant was so contemptuous. He had such total bittul for the chosid, he wasn't even treating him as a person. He didn't feel, the rich socher didn't even feel as though he were degrading himself by exposing himself in front of the chassid, because he had such total contempt for him that he wasn't even, he was treating him as inferior, not even as being a person. Tamati al chozek tchunas ha'azos benafsha. I was amazed at just how arrogant a person can be. But be'idach gisu be'emas ani atzmi lo hitzta'arti al ma'aseu b'shumpanim. But I didn't feel aggrieved in the least. It didn't provoke any reaction within me. This tremendous sense of joy, I experienced a tremendous sense of joy. Al shehigati l'chdechach, that I had reached a madrega, that I had attained a madrega, she'ein mitza'areni bizoyon oso hapochus. That the scorn and contempt that he had for me just didn't register. And I totally disregarded it. V'ein safik shezo tachlos shiflos haruach kedei lesvachik min hagaiva. Clearly, the Rambam is endorsing the story in terms of its identification of and embrace of what Ma'od Ma'od HaVishval Ruach means. I guess there's no hechrech, but Mistama, he's endorsing the story as a whole, although I don't know, I know, love, if that assumption is correct. If it is, so then there's another very, very interesting limud here. What generates the deepest and most meaningful form of simcha is the shleimus, which comes from his batlus. the story, again, as the story, as the Rambam recounts the story, so the Chassid is citing this incident in response to the question of what was the happiest day of your life? So I think we easily could have imagined that even if the Chassid had such an experience, that he wouldn't be citing this as the happiest day of his life. And I think we can think of lots of noble alternatives, not just, you know, sort of superficial and materialistic alternatives. And yet the Chassid cites this as the So what's the pshat? Maybe the pshat is as follows. The Rambam explains the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it's the haftarah for Tisha B'av, right? About al yisal al chacham b'chachmasa, al yisal hagiba b'gurasa, al yisal al ha'asher b'oshra. Kiyim b'zos yisal al misal al haskel v'yador osi. So he says that, I think he says the philosophers say, you know, there are different types of perfection a person can attain. When a person has financial security, right, he has enough money in federally insured accounts that he not only has financial security in terms of his basic needs, but even beyond that, he can afford to live the lifestyle he wants and indulge as he wants. So that's a type of shleimus. Maybe perfection doesn't have the same connotation as shleimus in this context. So the translation is off. It's one type of shleimus. If a person is in peak physical shape, he can win the decathlon. So he feels as good as a person can feel. He enjoys all the physical benefits and opportunities that type of good health afford. It's also a type of shleimus. But the Rambam points out, again, and he says, you know, that I don't think he says it's his own. He says he's quoting the philosophers, that really this is something that these are external. Wealth is certainly external. It's not who the person is. It's not what the person is. It's something external. And even health, you know, the real person is the Vayipach Ba'apa of Nishmas Chayim. The real person is the Nefesh HaAdam. So even the physical Shleimus, the physical completion is a better word than perfection, although it's a little clumsy in English, is also something external. The emphasis is, while thinking of that Rambam, I think it actually does shed light on this story. Because the Rambam there says that the ultimate shlemus isn't even shlemus hamidos, which is what this story is depicting, but the ultimate shlemus, as the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, is the haskel v'yoda osi. But midos, which are not linked to that, is also not the ultimate shlemus. So in terms of whether or not the Rambam is endorsing this element of the story, I guess would depend upon whether or not the chassid's shiflus was be'enei Elokim v'odam, and was a function of his yedias Hashem, or whether the shiflus was an ethical perfection on the way to yedias Hashem, in terms of whether or not the Rambam would endorse the Yom HaSameach b'Yosef. But either way, certainly the Shleimus HaMidos is much more internal and intrinsic than the Shleimuyos of Osher b'Oshro and the Gibor b'Gvuraso. Again, Gibor b'Gvuraso representing the Shleimus of a person's physical state. So at least, whether entirely or partially, that point is also correct. Again, it's not the focus here. The focus here is the extent of the shiflus. But either partially or entirely, let's say partially, since there's no explicit link to the Haskel v'Yodoa Osik, so the simple pshat and stum is that partially, at least partially, because the reason that's the happiest day is because that shleimus is more internal. That shleimus is more intrinsic. And when the source of the simcha is more internal, more intrinsic, so then the simcha is going to be more profound than when the source of the simcha is more external or more extrinsic. They tell the story that Reb Chaim Volozhiner and his saintly, angelic younger brother, Reb Zalmala, were traveling once. They didn't have on their shirts, you know, "Hello, my name is Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Hello, my name is Reb Zalmala. We're from the Gedolei Hador." They didn't have that hello sticker on their shirts, so they traveled in regular clothing. There was nothing to identify them as anyone special. And they came to an inn late at night that they really needed to be able to stop for the night. It was untenable and even dangerous to continue traveling. And they came to the inn, and the inn maker wasn't really interested in dealing with guests at that time. And apparently, whatever financial incentive there was wasn't enough for him. And he was mevaza them terribly. And then finally threw them into the barn and told them, "Here, you can stay with the horses overnight," and threw them into the barn and roughed them up literally physically, as well as dealt with them with tremendous contempt. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner looks, again, it's pitch black, that there's no candles there to illuminate the barn. And he hears that his brother Reb Zalmala is crying. So he starts telling Zamla, what are you crying? The whole thing is Hevel HaVolim. Who cares about his insults? The whole thing is Hevel HaVolim. It doesn't mean anything. Reb Zalman says, I'm not crying because he insulted us. I'm crying because when he dealt with us with such bizyonos, I felt something. And that's why I'm crying. That's this Rambam. Another famous story about Reb Zalman is that there was a little chabura at one tkufa used to come in to the gaon, and the gaon would learn with them, would teach them. And the Reb Zalman was the apple of the gaon's eye. He was so chasida uprisha, such an angelic person. One day they come in to learn, and the Gaon looks and he sees, he doesn't see the normal simcha radiating from Reb Zalman's face. He sees an atzvus. So he says to Reb Zalman, my high, this is supposed to be besimcha. So Reb Zalman says, how can I be besimcha? He says, I didn't. Here we are, it's ready for today's shir, and I didn't chaz yesterday's shir 100 times yet. Every other day, Reb Zalman was besimcha. The Rambam says, "Ein safek shezo tachlis shiflus haruach yedei l'svachik min hageva." The Rambam says, "This story, Taka, is paradigmatic. It illustrates what ma'od ma'od havishval ruach can mean, should mean." But l'chora, the Rambam's formulation here reinforces the havana. That we tried to develop last time, that the din of Ma'od Ma'od HaVishval Ruach is that it's midin siog, whereas by other midos a person only goes to an extreme temporarily to offset the opposite extreme, until he can regain his footing in the middle. Over here, this is a permanent siog. We need to permanently and constantly overcompensate. So that's what I'm saying. Ain something zot tach l'shiflus shavuach k'day l'svachik min hagayva. Meaning, if the shiflus shavuach were me'ike hadin, so then the Rambam should have just said ain something zot tach l'shiflus shavuach. But if the shiflus shavuach is midin siyag, as we saw last time, that Kila Godel, the lines right before where we began this morning, Kila Godel, I think it was still before Chatzos when we began, Kila Godel Cheson Hamida Hazos Eitzel Anshe Hamayla Ubahakiram Es Nizka Hirchiku Mimena Arakatseo Acheron. Where the Rambam depicted it as being Betoras Siog, so that's also, it's Kedei Lesvachik Ben Agaiva. That's why there's a need and a demand for Ma'od Ma'od HaVishval Ruach. I'm not sure if we pointed this out last time, but it contextually fits very well with the Rambam and the Yad also, because if we take a look in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam again presents gaiva, the extreme shiflus haruach, as an exception to the rule. So the context is, parak beis halachas aleph and beis are talking about, again, when a person, the Torah siog, to extricate himself from one extreme, goes to the opposite extreme, but in all those cases, he's doing it temporarily. And then apropos of that, the Rambam says, once you have that yesod, that sometimes a person has to go from to one extreme to avoid the opposite extreme, so now you can understand this din that I'm about to tell you, that here, again, it's sort of a permanent protective measure, a permanent overcompensation, as it were, because really there's no such thing as overcompensating because of Godel Niska and our susceptibility to it. Okay, let's try to, I'm not sure whether when all is said and done, whether we'll get clarity on this next point or not, but let's try to understand the following. There is a Gemara in Shabbos, you're familiar. On Peches Amid Beis. No, not Peches Amid Beis. Oh, yes, Peches Amid Beis. On Peches Amid Beis. Tana Rabbanan, Hanelovim Venen Olven, Shomim Cheposten Venen Meshivin, Osin Me'ava Osmechen B'Yisurin, Alein HaKosev Omer, V'O'av Av Ketzes HaShemesh B'Gvuraso. So the Brisa describes a persons, Lashon Rabbim, who are Ne'alovim Venen Olven, the Shomim Cheposten Venen Meshivin, now, the Sefer Achinuch, if you take a look in the mitzvah of Onoaz Dvorim, in Parshas Bahar, it's mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches, in the Sefer Achinuch. So the Isra of Onoaz Dvorim is not to speak hurtfully to another Jew. Not to speak hurtfully to another Jew. Could be there's no Lashon Hara in what I'm saying. I'm speaking to him and I'm not talking about anyone else. There's no Lashon Hara. There's no Rechilus. I'm not talking about anyone else. But if I say Dvarim Sheyach Ivuhu V'Yitza'aruhu, if I say things which will pain him, so that's an issa of Onoaz Dvorim. Good. The Sefer Achinuch, again, almost all mitzvahs, the Sefer Achinuch concludes with Menoheges mitzvah zo. When is this mitzvah Menoheges? Is it only Bizman Abayas? Is it always? Upon whom is it incumbent? Is it only Kohanim? Is it everyone? And then that's usually the end of the mitzvah. Here, the Sefer Achinuch has a postscript. V'ulam lefi hadome. V'ulam lefi hadome. Where's Moshe? Do you see that v'ulam lefi hadome? You have that?
Yeah. I posted it in the chat.
Oh, okay. So it's not on the screen? Message.
It is. It's on the previous message. It's to the end.
Okay. Thank you. And for some reason, I don't see it on my screen. Okay. V'ulam lefi hadome, ein b'mashma shem bo Yisrael echad v'hischil v'hirshia letzar chaver b'dvarim haroyim shelo yaneh o'shameya. So Sefer Chinuch says, this lav of Onoaz Dvarim notwithstanding, he says, I don't think that the lav entails that if a person is minding his own business and then another Jew comes and he begins to chepa him, he begins to be mitza'er him. The lav of Onoaz Dvarim doesn't demand of the person that he remain silent. So for the moment, we'll translate it literally, although we'll see in a minute that what the Sefer Chinuch really means. It's impossible for a person to react as though he were an inanimate object. I mean, if you insult a stone and you point to a stone and you say, "What an ugly stone," and then you launch into a whole litany of abusive language, so the stone doesn't react. The stone doesn't feel anything. It's inanimate. It's e'efshar liyasa adam ke'evin she'en lahofchem. A person, and again, the stone will always remain stationary unless someone comes and overturns it, right? It's not going to move. It's not moved to respond. The ode, what's more, she'yeh b'shtikaso k'mode ala cherufin. Sometimes his silence can be construed as admission. U'be'emes lo tetzah v'ator liyasa odom ke'evin shosek l'mechofov k'mole mevorcha. The Torah doesn't hold us to such a standard. The Torah doesn't demand that a person, again, remain completely silent in the face of vilification. The love of those dvarim is that we shouldn't be initiating something like this. What's more, ubechein yinatzal adam mikolze. And what's more, most of the time, a person will therefore, if he's not the type of person to initiate this, he'll also be spirited, because for the most part, it's going to be true. Kimisha enu bal ktata lo yichafu b'nei adam. For the most part, it's true that if you don't sling dirt, other people are not going to sling dirt at you. It's not always true. Sefer Chinuch doesn't mean that's, you see from the Hemshech HaDvarim, from the next paragraph that he's not suggesting it's always true, but it's true a lot of the time. Zulasya Shotim HaGemurim, the only people who are sort of muchzak to initiate and to vilify people who themselves are very respectful of others, people who are shotim gemurim, the ain loss is lev ala shotim, and there's no reason for a person to be mindful of divrei chiruf which come from a shotim. Vim ula yachrichenu mecharef mi bnei adam lohashav al dvarav. Roi lechacham sheyoshev lo derech silsul uneimus v'lo yichas harvei. If circumstances necessitate that one respond to a vilifier, so the Chacham, interesting, even here, the Sefer Chinuch is not expecting the Chacham to be totally above kas, but lo yichas harbe, he should be working very hard to control and minimize. And he should answer in a sweet way. Ki kas b'chei k'silim yanuach v'yinatzel atzmo el ha'shom m'mechei rufav, and he should exonerate himself from the slanderous vilification in the presence of those who heard it. And let the burden of having maligned a person maliciously, let that burden be squarely on the shoulders of the Macharif. V'yesh lanu lilmol dova zeh. But this chiddush, I'm telling you, says the Sefer Chinuch, besides the svara, that I think it's a svara that says that the Torah doesn't require me ikar hadin, that a person remains silent in the face of verbal onslaught. So first of all, I think it's a svara, l'fi adomit. But what's more, yesh lanu lilmol dova zeh, I think you can bring a raya. Shemuta lanu lanos ksil l'fi adomit, me'asher hitira ha-Torah ha-bo b'machteres l'haktim al-hoga. This is pretty extraordinary. She'ein sofik shelo neschai v'odom lisbol ha-nizokim b'yad chavero, ki yesh lo reshus l'hinotzel miyado. See, what the chinuch means here is as follows, right? When Chazal explain what the sort of what the Torah's rationale is by the din of Bava Machteres, so the Torah says that the ganav knows that ein other mamed atzam al mamono, that a person doesn't stand by and let someone rob him. So the ganav knows that the Baal HaBayis is likely to resist. And therefore the ganav is clearly coming, ready to overcome that resistance, meaning he's ready to come. He's ready to kill him. So he yells that he's ready to kill him if that's the only way that he can perpetrate the gneiva. So haba lahogecha hashkem lahoge. But what sets off this whole chain reaction, which culminates in the need for the Baal HaBayis to preemptively kill the Baba Machteres, is the fact that a person is entitled to protect his property. We don't tell the person, we don't tell the person, no, let him steal. No, a person is, it's mutter for a person to be omed al shalo, even though that causes an escalation, which ultimately means that he's going to have to kill the ganav. And the Torah says that is perfectly acceptable. So he says, I mean, that's why it's not a kasha on the chinuch. What kind of raya is this? The fact that you can preemptively strike to save your life, does that really mean that you can respond to insult? And he says, no, it's not. You're only preemptively striking to save your life because you have a right to protect your property, because you're not mechuyev to allow the person to steal. So the same way you're not mechuyev to allow the person to steal, against what we said before, your property is something external. A person's basic dignity is much more internal or intrinsic than a person's property. U'kimochen midivei piu asher mole mirmos vasoch b'chol dovor shu yochol linotza mimonet. So a person is also allowed to save himself from verbal onslaught the same way he's allowed to save himself from a ganav and physical onslaught. So kitzar meister, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, v'ulam, well, let's finish and then try to understand. V'ulam yesh kat mibnei odam she'ola chasidusam kol kach, shelo yirtzu lahachdas atzman b'hora azu lahoshav chorfeyum dava. There are people whose midas chasidus is so exalted that they will not take advantage of this heter, even though this is entirely mutter me'ikar adin. They will not avail themselves of that heter. Pen yigbar aleim akas v'yispashtu b'inyan yoseh midai. Again, notice what we spoke about last time, the volatility of kas. Because the reason for this midas chasidus is they're afraid that if you begin to respond, it's going to be impossible to modulate and control the response. Aleim akosu v'aleim omru zechronim levocha ne'alom ve'enem odim misham v'chvosim ve'enem ashivim. So the Sefer HaChinuch says that clearly that halacha lemaisa hanealonim veinam ovim is a midas chasidus. What does that mean? So let's plug it into our case. The Rambam's example of this chassid, who was dealt with such contempt and degradation at the hands of this rich merchant. So according to the Sefer HaChinuch, Me'ikar Adin, it was mutter for the chassid to say something along the following lines. I'd rather be a poor person in economy than a vildachaya, than an azponim in first class. I'd rather be a mensch in tattered clothing than a peradam in wearing silk and finery. According to the Sefer Chinuch, those responses are mutter. And it's a midas chasidus to swallow and not say that. Our Rambam agrees with that. Our Rambam disagrees with that. That there's a machlokes here halacha lemaisa. So for me, it seems that there is, right? Because ma'od ma'od habishval ruach, the Rambam in the Yad tells us is tzivu chachamim v'omer, right? That's the lashon Rambam in Perik Beis of Deis. Lefichach tzivu chachamim v'omer ma'od ma'od habishval ruach. And then the Rambam says so tzivu. And then the Rambam says that this story illustrates the tachlis hashiflus. Sounds like the tachlis hashiflus, which is a kiyum of this mission. So the fun riyata, the Rambam would seem to be disagreeing with the Sefer HaChinuch.
Ready? Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
Are we understanding the Sefer HaChinuch to say that you can return fire to the Mecharef? That like you can, I mean, like some of the responses that Rebbe said he would be okay with, is that like to kind of return fire personally towards the Mecharef, or just to defend yourself and just to say, hey, no, it's not true, those things aren't true?
I think it's clear. Again, the Sefer HaChinuch appends this to the mitzvah of Onas Dvarim, because it seems clear that in this context, the person is saying something which in any other context would be Onas Dvarim. Right? Ulam the Fiadome, don't overstate this love, says the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us. So if it was just that I could defend myself, you know, without telling him, you know, you're being a parodom. If I could just defend myself, then this isn't really an exception to Onas Dvarim. It never would have occurred to me that there's no reason it would have been Onas Dvarim to just defend myself. So it's clear that there's some pushback here that the Sefer HaChinuch says, Me'ikar Din is allowed. Again, he says, the Chacham, you know, will speak B'na'imus and won't necessarily avail himself of the heter, but in terms of what is muta me'ikar hadin, you me'ikar hadin, you could tell him, you know, I'd rather be, I'd rather be a pauper in, you know, sitting in the back of economy than a pair of them in first class, and that's a chiddush, because I would have thought that that's onas dvarim. So the Torah says no, the Torah understands human nature, and the Torah doesn't demand. Again, when the Sefer HaChinuch said Iyefsha, he didn't mean Iyefsha, because then he tells you that there's a kat chasidim who taka do it. So what he meant by Iyefsha is that it's Iyefsha that that's where the Torah sets the standard for everyone. It's Iyefsha that the Torah says that the standard for everyone, which Me'ikar Hadin, is that a person should be as immune and insulated from insult as an inanimate object. It can't be. That's where the Torah set the standard, the bar. So the shaila is, our Rambam agrees or disagrees with this. So the Rambam also quotes this Gemara in Shabbos. He quotes it, different parts of it, in two places. So take a look first in at the end of Perek Hey of Hilchos Deos, Hey Yud Gimel. Again, Perek Hey, the Rambam introduced in Halacha Aleph, as Kashem Shal Chochem Nika B'Chochmasu of Deosav, V'hu Muvdal B'hen Mishah Ha'am, Kach Tzach She'ya Nika B'Masav. That the Chacham should be discernible. He should stand out in terms of his code of conduct. Okay, so then Aloch Yud Gimel here, Masar Matan Shal Tamid HaChachamim Be'emes U'Be'emuna, Ome Alav Lav, Al Hein, Hein. Medaktik Al Atzmo B'Cheshbon, V'Nosen U'Mevata L'Acherim K'sheyikach Mehen. Below you, Dr. Galeon, but no send me halekach la alta, the purchase price. The enu nasta lo ore, lo kablon, lo yovel behashoa. The high vansman bedevin mekach, memka, but mokum shall hear about us of Torah, Kadesha yama bedibura, below you shanehu. The imnishaivu lo acherim bedin, marach lohen mocha lohen. Umalva Vachonin, Villa Yeri the Toch Umanus Chaver, Villa Yetza the Odom, Beolam Bechaya. Quavo Shadavi Yemen and the Dolphin Velomena Rotfim, Minana Lovim, Velomena Ovim. Right, so that's part of the vice, right? The first part of the vice is Tana Rabban and I love him, Ven and Ovim. So that's the first part of the vice. So, ואדם שעושה כל מייסים האלה וחיוצא בן, עולה וכוסב עומר, ויאמר לי עבדי אתו, ישראל אשר בוכו אספאור. Then, the nether part of the verse to the Rambam quote to the end of Hilchos Talmud Torah. If you take a look in the last halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah, almost the midpoint of the halacha. Afal pi sheyesh rishus l'chochem l'nados l'chvodo, a Talmud Chochem has a right to impose a nidoy, an excommunication on someone who was mevazehim. Eino shevach l'talmid l'chochem l'hanig atzma v'dov v'zeh. But it's not a laudable thing for the Talmud Chochem to do. He turns a deaf ear to their bizyonos. And he doesn't pay attention to what they say. Okay. So again, so we want to know that the Rambam agrees with the Chinuch and disagrees with the Chinuch. So clearly, Shalom Chapasim Enim Meshivim, the Rambam introduces this as Derech Chasidim HaRishonim. Right? The same way the Sefer HaChinuch said, Yesh Kat Mibnei Odom Sha'ola Chasidusam Kol Kach. There's a group of people whose chassidus, whose devoutness is so extraordinary. So the Rambam is also clearly introducing this as a midas chassidus. Agav, what's pshat? Ne'alavim ve'enem olvim, sham chaposim ve'enem meshivim. So ne'alavim ve'enem olvim means they don't return insult, right? They don't return verbal fire. And the Shamim Chepa, they may respond, right? But they don't respond with insult. Right? Nelam Enam Olven doesn't mean they remain silent, but they don't respond with insult. And Shamim Chepasam, not only do they not return fire, not only do they not respond with insult, but they don't respond at all. But if that's the difference, why did Chazal change the first half of it? Why didn't it just say Hanelavim Enam Olvim? Hanelavim Venam Meshivim. Right? They changed Nelavim to Shomim Chepasim. So the Pasha says what it means is as follows. The second group is surpassing the first group in two ways. Number one, not only is it Enam Olvim, that they don't return insult, but it's Enam Meshivim. Number two, despite the fact that the provocation was even greater. Now, laha aliv, what does laha aliv, lashon elbon, mean? Insult. What is lechoref? Shomim cheposam. Cheposam means humiliation, vilification. So not only do they not insult in kind, but despite the fact that what they were subjected to, the provocation, was so much greater. It wasn't just now love them. It was even a provocation of Shomim Chaposam. And even that doesn't get a rise from them. So clearly the Shomim Chaposam of Enam Meshivim is a Midas Chasidus. The Rambam is certainly in sync with the Sefer Chinuch on that. What about the now love them Enam Olvim? So I don't know. The fact that the Rambam didn't quote that part of the Maimi here, so does the Rambam think that that part is Me'ika HaGiddin? To be Nelav Eino Olev, maybe that is Me'ika HaGiddin. So maybe the Rambam... The only thing is, if you look at the context in Hilchos Deos, so it's not only the fact that it's in Perek Hey, which to a degree consists of Midas Chasidus for the Talmud Chacham, but it's clear that Halacha Yud Gimel, again, Yemen and Nedof and Lomen and Rotun, when you go back and see it in context, I will say, Min Hane Alam and Lomen Olvim is the Rambam's Klal Shaldavar, where initially he gave us specific examples, and now he's generalizing. Clearly, the specific examples included Midas Chasidus, that a person is Mochel Lohen, that a person is Nosen Umevater. Clearly, in the examples, in the specific examples in Halacha Yud Gimel, there were examples of Midas Chasidus. So the Klal Shel Dover can't just be Me'ikar Hadin. So the Kol Shodavit is Midas Chasidus. So the Pashto says that again, it's not the same level of Midas Chasidus as Shomim Chepasim and Meshivim. And maybe the Rambam at the end of the Talmud Torah is wants to focus on that highest Midas Chasidus, but the Ne'elav Ve'enam Olvim is also Midas Chasidus. So the Pashto says then that the Rambam agrees with the Sefer Chinuch that what the Bryce is describing, Ne'elav Ve'enam Olvim, Shem Chupasim and Meshivim is a Midas Chasidus. A Midas Chasidus, which is mamish kadai that we should aspire to and work towards. But Lamai said it is a Midas Chasidus. It is a Midas Chasidus. But how does that being a Midas Chasidus stem with the fact that the Rambam cites this reaction of the Chassid as the ultimate kiyum of the tzivu chachamim v'omru ma'od ma'od ha'vishva v'ruch? That's the question. So maybe the answer is the following. A little bit, we didn't really have it this week. Last week we spoke about the, in Perek Aleph, about the Midas Chasidus of the Chassid versus the Chacham. And we tried to understand how the Midas Chasidus in this context isn't contradicting the Ikar Hadin. The Ikar Hadin is to be in the middle. So how can the Midas Chasidus to be off-center? So we suggested that maybe what it means is, on the practical level, so the chassid, he's not off-center. No, he's not denying himself of the nutrition that he needs to function at maximum capacity and to be as healthy and vigorous as possible. But whereas the Derech HaChochma wouldn't require him to avoid all Hana'a that matches that amount of intake, he's makpid on that. So we suggested that ordinarily, what the din of Alachta B'drachav, it's clear from the Rambam, is that a person should align himself internally, Achi Yikavu Hadeos Bo, with what he's supposed to be doing practically. So if practically I should be earning enough money to pay my bills, v'chulu, v'chulu, so then inwardly I should have that much interest in money. I shouldn't be looking for riches, but on the other hand, I should not be totally disinterested in money. And what the Hasidim did is that internally they went towards the safer extreme, but practically they didn't sacrifice the practice, the practically. So with that distinction in mind, so what the Rambam is describing here from the Chassid is that the Chassid said, I didn't feel anything. What would be if this Chassid, without feeling anything, had told the Socher, again, I'd rather be a poor mensch sitting here in the engine room than an Azponim sitting in the first class cabin on the cruise ship. But he would have said that without feeling anything. There wouldn't have been any. So you ask, why is he saying it? I don't know why he's saying it. That's a good question. I don't know why he's saying it. And maybe that question's a peyocha. I don't know. But then could be that then we wouldn't have a stira, meaning it's me'ikar adin not to be affected by it, to have such a shiflas haruach. But I don't know if the me'ikar adin necessarily is to have to maintain one's silence. I don't know if the teretz is correct, but okay. So that's the Rambam and the Chinuch. Okay, so we'll stop here, Rabbi. Everyone should have a good, productive day. Guten Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi. Everyone should be well, be safe, Be'ezus Hashem.